Thanks for downloading the Witness History podcast from the BBC World Service. This week, we've been looking back through our archives to bring you first-hand accounts of key moments in Black American history. In May 1992, the city of Los Angeles was engulfed by riots. Many of the people on the streets were protesting after police officers accused of assaulting a Black motorist called Rodney King were acquitted. In 2012, Nina Robinson spoke to Rodney King about the beating and the unrest and violence that followed.
It's May 1992, and people from the mostly Black poor neighborhood of South Central Los Angeles are so angry that they're out on the streets rioting.
They're in a lot of trouble, dude. A lot of trouble. These people are angry, and they have every right to be.
And there's one man's name on everyone's lips.
Exactly what Rodney King got. Justice!
My name is Rodney King, and I was 24 years old when I got brutally beaten, savagely beaten by the police, LAPD, in 1991.
Rodney King's story begins a year earlier when police officers beat him with batons and kicks and a stun gun. Unknown to them, it was all the time being filmed by an amateur cameraman.
You know, the most hurting part about it was trying to hurry up and die, just wishing they would just hurry up and finish me off, because it was so painful, just get it over with. That's where I was at in my mind. And then another thing in my mind was like, if slaves went through this, then I got to get through this too. I know it was pretty bad with me drinking and driving, but once I stopped the car, it felt like I stopped in a place that was where the time had stayed back for almost 200 years.
Rodney, I mean, did you feel angry when you were being beaten, or did you feel angry when you saw the tape?
I was too scared and frightened to be angry at that time. And I remember having that thought as long as, you know, even when I came back to, I said, oh, well, I still got my shoes for evidence because they're full of blood, and I still got my shirt for evidence that's full of blood, but that's all I have, you know. And I almost cried all over again when I even heard that it was a tape, because I could not believe that someone taped that night, because I know no one was going to believe me what happened if I had survived. No one would believe me.
The tape was shown over and over again on TV and led to a national outcry against racism and police brutality. A trial followed of four white police officers.
Los Angeles Police Chief Daryl Gates looked at the tape and said he thinks assault with a deadly weapon will be one of the charges.
In our, we find that the officers struck him with batons between 53 and 56 times. One officer rendered six kicks, and one officer one kick.
And this particular still frame.
The tape was shown repeatedly in court, and eyewitness testimony was heard.
In a matter of seconds, he took out his baton. He had it in a power swing, and struck the driver right across the top of the cheekbone, splitting his face from the top of his ear to his chin.
And the verdict was announced live on TV.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Stacy C. Coon, not guilty of the crime of assault by force likely to produce great bodily injury and with a deadly weapon.
There were a further three not guilty verdicts, and all the officers were acquitted by a largely white jury. Rodney King's lawyer, Steve Lerman, vented his frustration with the result.
It sends a bad message. It says it's okay to go ahead and beat somebody when they're down and kick the crap out of them. And it's okay because if it's not videotaped, don't worry about it. Another brother officer won't turn you in. And if a brother officer does turn you in, don't worry. We'll get white jurors or whoever it takes, and you'll walk.
It felt like all the work and all the, you know, effort to with civil rights, all the movement that the country have done up to that point as far as relating to civil rights had just been thrown out of the window. I didn't know what to expect. And I was just totally devastated myself.
But in a way, do you think you were more, you know, readied yourself for the fact that there might not be justice at that point?
Yes, I was told that if there wasn't a guilty verdict, that there was going to be a rioting. There was going to be a civil unrest.
Afternoon television reports of the four policemen's acquittal brought an instant violent reaction in the poor Black neighborhoods of South Central Los Angeles, white car drivers were forced to a halt and their vehicles' windows smashed about them.
You're a disgrace. It don't make no sense. It's not going to do no better. It's going to make it worse.
We've had some violence on the streets, motorists being taken from their cars and beaten severely. At least one was killed. We've had three deaths. Two of them from shootings.
They're pulling the driver out of the van and they're kicking the driver and beating the driver. The driver's only mistake was entering this area. He's been kicked in the head. He's laying in the street. Hit the siren, Doug.
I had no idea it was going to be of that magnitude. It hurt me very much to see the country, you know, like that in my lifetime. I've never seen nothing like that in my life. It made me feel like a little ant that was just—I just felt so hopeless and scared, you know, and just like a little, it was just it was totally like the end of the world was coming, you know. It was so many mixed emotions. I was hurt seeing people getting hurt out there in the streets, and then at the same time, I was like, well, I understood.
Over several days of rioting, around 50 people subsequently died. Hundreds more were injured and over 900 fires were lit. As Los Angeles was burning, a nervous Rodney King spoke to the waiting cameras.
People, I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we stop making it horrible for the older people and the kids?
I felt like it was up to me to, you know, bring some type of healing, you know, do something. I say something, it's even your brothers and sisters out there going crazy, you know, whether they're white, black, or whatever, Chinese. We're all still brothers and sisters, you know. There's so many people that's too stupid to understand that, and that's okay. I'm sorry to use stupid, but, you know, everybody on this planet is related, really, and especially ones that live in the same country. So, and that's why I said, can we all just get along? You have to find shelter in a storm, and that was my way of, you know, putting water on a fire.
But to keep going on like this, and to see the security guard shot on the ground, it's just not right. It's just not right because those people will never go home to their families again. And I mean. Please, we can get along here.
You've said at the time that you didn't want that, you know, you wish that it hadn't happened. I mean, do you still feel like that two decades on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I felt so bad. I felt really horrible, but I felt like I shouldn't have been. I wish I had stayed home that day and just, you know, kicked back at the house. And that's the way I felt, really. And then another side of me felt like, you know, it wasn't my fault. It was out of all of our control. It was just a natural reaction. I don't know how to explain it, you know, but I know that with the public and police brutality, you know, it's more eyes on it. And it's too bad it comes with a great price.
That was Rodney King, who spoke to Nina Robinson in 2012. He died a few weeks after the interview took place. And if you'd like to hear more of our first-hand accounts of events from the past, just search on your podcast app for BBC Witness History.